Welcome back to the podcast. This is the SPM show. I'm your host, Bruce Irving. Today, we have the fellas over at Zaza's Pizza. We're talking all about marketing, how they got started. They started a relatively recent pizzeria, and it's going really well. They talk about how they grew the business in the beginning, how what it's like working with family, why it's important to take separate roles if you are working with family, and how all of that is going at this point. They are doing a New York-style pizzeria in Chicago, and it's going pretty well. And we talk all about it on this podcast. I think you're really going to enjoy it. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. If you have a question, you can reach me over on Instagram at Smart Pizza Marketing. Also, smartpizzamarketing.com is our website. I just, as of releasing this podcast, put out two blog posts that I think you should go check out. One is TikTok marketing for pizzerias. It's going to be something that is huge. I've been talking a lot about it inside of our mastermind group, which you can also check out. And also, 17 pizza marketing ideas for your restaurant, how to leverage digital to grow your business. Now, not only is it important to grow your business using digital, but as you are probably well aware, there is a, and I don't want to call it a crisis when it comes to employees, but every business, and I work in a lot of different genres, not just in the pizza restaurant world, they are having an extremely hard time filling the open spots that they have available for jobs. It's not just pizzas and restaurants. Now, obviously, pizzas and restaurants is having a harder time, but every business is. The way to combat that in 2022 moving forward is to have some sort of digital presence. I can almost guarantee you will have to pay someone far more than somebody else if the person is applying for your job does not know what it's like inside of your restaurant, if they even apply at all. If they Google you, or if they go onto a social media profile and they don't have any experience being able to visually see what you do and how you do it, the younger generation of folks, which is the majority of people who work in the restaurant industry, are going to have a hard time deciding to work for you or even filling out that application. So these marketing ideas are going to help you with that, help you build that digital presence. You don't need tons of followers. You just need a consistent presence to build your brand on there. And you just need to know what to post and when to post. And it doesn't have to be every single day, all day long. And you don't have to buy followers and fake it till you make it. You just have to have a consistent know-how of what to do and where to do it. And this blog post that I did recently or last week, updated it, is going to help you do that. So go check it out. 17 pizza marketing ideas for your restaurant. If you're not a pizza restaurant, they're still great ideas. It just happened to title it pizza marketing ideas. So that way Google picks it up. And when people Google that, we show up. So go check that out over there. Also, one more thing. Here we go. All right, I want to say thank you to today's show sponsor, Hunger Rush. Hunger Rush's integrated system of solution gives you everything that you need to reduce labor, streamline operations, unify your digital channels, delight customers and employees, and of course, sell more pizza. That's what we're all trying to do. Well, you're trying to do it. I'm trying to help you do that. Pizza is one of the world's most popular foods, and it has a unique set of challenges for operators. Hunger Rush is designed to help you handle all of those. It's been designed from the ground up to handle the growth and implementation of all of these strategies specifically for pizzerias. Grow and optimize your delivery business through integrated in-house curbside fleet management and third-party delivery support. Everything in one place. Access to your customers and operational data, update and broadcast your menus, manage your labor and inventory, everything you need to be more effective and more profitable right at your fingertips. Hunger Rush gives you the ability to grow your digital channels and drive more repeat business with online ordering, ordering via text, through the app, and even more. Check them out. HungerRush.com/SPM for more information. Get started today. You won't regret it, I promise you. Today's podcast is brought to you by Smithfield Culinary. Their margarita product line delivers authentic Italian flavor. They use high-quality meat products. And I actually use these when we operated our pizzeria, the margarita pepperoni, and they're fantastic. The other thing that I really like is they offer the popular cup and char pepperoni, which is those pepperonis that the edges kind of curl up as you cook it. It gets a little crispy on the outside, nice and juicy in the middle. I love it. They provide a wide range of meats, including salami, capicola, prosciutto, mortadella, pancetta, everything you need for your pepperoni and meat toppings. Whether you're doing pizza or a charcuterie board, it's perfect. They have all kinds of recipes, videos, everything you need over at smithfieldculinary.com/margarita. And the other thing they offer is consistent money-saving rebates. So go check it out. Visit smithfieldculinary.com/margarita to get in on the savings and learn a little bit about pepperoni. All right, that's enough. Let's get into the podcast today with the fellas over at Zaza's Pizza. Stay tuned for next week's podcast. We got a couple great ones coming for you in the next few weeks as well. So we'll see you on the other side. All right, welcome back to the podcast, everybody. Brett and Chad from Zaza's Pizza in Chicago is joining me. I'm excited to hear their story about how they got started. So fellas, first of all, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day and joining me on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Bruce. We appreciate it.
So let's hear it. How did you guys get, I know you're kind of recently, not new to the restaurant industry, but new to the pizza game, and you just opened up not too long ago. So let's kind of hear that backstory about how you guys got into it.
Yeah, for sure. So I've only worked in restaurants my whole life. When I was 15, I started off as a dishwasher. My brother here actually helped me get a job at a restaurant called Eddie Merlot's. My brother was the first one to work at this restaurant, and he got me and pretty much all of our friends hired at this restaurant because we were all looking for work. And so I just started off as a dishwasher, and I had no plans of ever getting serious about cooking. And I sort of just fell in love with the lifestyle. You know, I got to know the cooks there. I would watch them do what they're doing. You know, they'd have like heavy metal blaring and they'd be flipping steaks and like, you know, wearing bandanas. And there's just like, it was just such a cool lifestyle. And it was just it really appealed to me like right off the bat. So I just felt like I was in the right place right away. So the restaurant industry has been a really special place for me, and I've only worked in restaurants my entire life. And after washing dishes for maybe, I'd say like 2 years, they were ready to promote me. They're ready to have me work on the line because they needed someone. And I was interested because, like I already said, I was attracted to the lifestyle. I thought it looked cool. So I was like, you know what, if you got a spot opening, then why not just throw me in there and let's see what happens. And pretty much right away, I fell in love with it. They threw me on the station called Garmarger, and they had me just doing like cold food, like oysters and charcuterie boards and making salads and desserts. And it was like the cold station, essentially. And as soon as I got my hands in there and I started getting used to it, I was like, you know what? This is like, I think this is what I want to do with my life. Like, I was very serious about it. So at that point, I decided to go to culinary school. From there, I just started learning all the stations. I started working my way up, and I was in line to become sous chef. And then at that point, I'd already been there for several years, and I decided to branch out. Worked at a couple other restaurants, worked my way up the ranks, and ended up at a restaurant called Santo Cielo pretty recently. That was a very nice restaurant in downtown Naperville. And I started off as a cook there, but I really wanted to earn my way into a chef position there. So I got to know the chef. I showed him what I was made of. I showed some dishes I was capable of making. And during that time, I was reading all sorts of books and watching documentaries and learning about cuisine, and eventually became the sous chef there. And after I landed that position, my next goal was to become the head chef. So after some time working the sous chef position, we eventually lost our head chef. He actually got fired, which I thought maybe would happen because he kind of had a hot temper. I wasn't sure exactly how long it would take, but I figured eventually that position would open up.
How long ago was this?
This was about 2 years ago when I took the head chef position, 2 or 3 years approximately. And so that position did open up around the time of the pandemic. And when we had like that first lockdown, we had lost our head chef there. And so they offered me the position. I was in line for it. I was waiting for it. And they offered me the head chef position. And at that point, I was ready for it. So I took it on. I started coming up with different menus every week. I would do like rotating weekly menus. We'd have like a prefix menu for our dine-in guests. So basically, I would have like an appetizer, a main course, one other course, and a dessert. And I was doing a different menu every single week. So that really gave me an opportunity to experiment with different flavor profiles and different ideas. And I think during that period of time, I really learned a lot about myself and the style of food that I like. And it allowed me to explore a lot because we were doing different menus all the time. So that was awesome. And that was a good learning experience. It was also a challenge for me to come up with these different menus every week. And I kind of just fell into the position and did my best, man. You know, I came up with a brunch menu for the restaurant. I designed their lunch menu and their dinner menu. And the food they're serving to this day is still, a lot of the dishes are still mine on the menu. So that's pretty cool.
So that wasn't too long ago. So, right. So that was only 2 years ago. So how did the transition to kind of pizza get into that?
So to get into the transition, it actually happened there at Santo Cielo. So we were doing pizzas there. We call them pizzettas. It was like their fancy way of describing a pizza. It really was just like neo-Neapolitan style pizza, if you will. Not true Neapolitan. It was a wood-fired oven, but it was kind of like this this fusion, this blend of styles of Neapolitan and like the new style of wood-fired pizzas. So I was experimenting with dough recipes. I was starting to mess around with 00 flour. I was starting to learn about auto lees and all these different things that you can do to your dough. And as I started doing that, I started falling in love with just making pizza, just making the dough. And I was just so enamored with the whole process. I was like, this is fun. Like, this is something I really enjoy making. Like, I'm seeing on Instagram all these people opening up pizzerias during the pandemic. As you know, there's like a huge boom of all these places. And as I was making it, I was like, you know what? Like, growing up, my favorite food was always pizza. And if you were to ask me what my favorite food is, a lot of the time my answer would be pizza, because it's just, I mean, how could you not say pizza? I mean, you can't go wrong with pizza. And it's such a great food in so many ways, and always brought the family together at the table. It was just always a big deal in our household, because my mom and my dad, they didn't really know how to cook. And so when we wanted to celebrate something, or one of our sports teams that we were playing in, we won something, you know, we always go out for pizza, you know, like tavern style pizza in Chicago. That was our thing. You know?
Are you guys from Chicago originally?
From the Chicago area. We're from a little town called Warrenville. But growing up there, we've very much so had that, you know, tavern style pizza at all the restaurants near us. Like, our favorite place growing up was this place called Al's, and they do great, great tavern style. They cook it in like a steel pan. And it comes out super nice and crispy. And like, we grew up on that. So we always loved Chicago style pizza. But jumping back into me making pizza at Santo Cielo. So again, like I was saying, I started falling in love with making the dough, and I wanted to start messing around at home with different styles. I was like, okay, this style is cool that we're doing, you know, sort of wood fire, neo-Neapolitan, if you want to call it that. I'm having fun with this, but I want to experiment with making other styles. And there was also a restaurant near us called Little Pop's Pizzeria that was doing New York style pizza. I'm not sure if you've heard of them, but they do pretty solid New York style.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Yeah, they do really good stuff. And we started going to that restaurant a lot as a family, and we started really loving that style. And then I also started watching The Pizza Show with Frank Pinello, and just seeing him cover like the Brooklyn territory, and seeing places like DeFara and Lucali. Like, there's something about New York pizza culture that really, really was attractive to me. And anybody, I would show all my friends and family this series by Frank Pinello, watch it at like family gatherings and be like, you guys got to watch this. This is cool. So we'd watch that, and I kind of got other family members on board with like the idea of, you know, me potentially moving into this realm of, you know, making pizza. So I started making New York style pizza at home, started messing around with different recipes. We started playing around with different tomatoes. And my brother was with me the whole time. We've been roommates for a while. So I would have him try out my pizza, and he would give me his 2 cents or be like, this needs more salt. The sauce needs this or that. We should try different cheeses. We've been messing around with different toppings. We even did like a tomato test where we probably had 10 different types of tomatoes, and we'd put them all in separate bowls, and we would just do like blind taste tests, and we would try to decide, you know, which one was our favorite.
Wow. So you did a ton of research and a ton of R&D before you got open.
A ton of R&D at home. I was just obsessed with making it at home, because, you know, I was only able to do so much at work because I had all these other things going on. So I found that I was able to, you know, try out all these different things that would inevitably lead to pizza that we're making now at home. So
how did you make dough? How did you make the New York style pizza at home? Like, what did you use?
So we very often would go for like the King Arthur bread flour. Yeah. I found that if there's any flour at the supermarket that's going to work out for New York style, it's King Arthur bread flour, at least for me. That's what I was able to get my hands on, and worked out pretty well. I would mess around with different hydrations, start out at like 65 and then work all the way up to like 73% hydration, just to see the difference. And I actually didn't have like any type of stone or steel in our oven. I actually would just use this little perforated pizza pan that we had. Just to get it started, just to see how it would come out. But I'd leave it in the oven for a while and let it preheat and get hot. And I would just slide it on with my cutting board at home. And we actually made some really good pizza that way. I mean, we had to kind of get creative with how we would make it. But, you know, it allowed us to try these different ingredients out. And I was able to try out some Stanislaus products. They had it at the Caputo store near us. So I was able to try out 7-Eleven.
Wait, they have a Caputo store near you?
They did. Well, we were living in Oak Park at the time. There was a Caputo's near us.
Oh, wow.
10 minutes. And so we were able to try out Stanislaus and just and try out all these different products and Galbani cheese. And we were able to kind of get a feel for what we might want to put out in the restaurant. And we started getting closer and closer to something that we thought would be a delicious product that people would actually want to buy. And as we became more confident with the pizza that we were making, we decided to look for a restaurant space. And my brother here helped me a lot with that part of the process. I was actually busy working at Coal Fire because I actually left my job at Santo Cielo in pursuit of pizza.
So you went to you went to go find a job so you could like
work? I did. Pizza? I wanted to, before I opened my own place, I leased for a few months, wanted to work in a pizzeria to understand a few things about how the flow of the operation works and whatnot, kind of ingredients they're working with. So I decided to work at Coal Fire, which is a great, great pizzeria in Chicago. Amazing stuff. I was working for Dave Bonomi, who's an awesome guy. And I was able to learn a lot with the short period of time I was there. I was maybe only there for 3 months, 3-4 months. And I just tried to accumulate as much knowledge as I possibly could about how he structures his kitchen and how everything kind of flows on a busy night. Because they do numbers there, and I wanted to see how a busy pizzeria handles itself on a Friday or Saturday.
Yeah, I get asked a lot of people who email me or message me and like, hey, I want to start a pizzeria, especially in the last couple of years with what happened. And, you know, they're a lawyer or a plumber or whatever. And I'm always like, they're like, what should I do? Or what kind of pizzeria? I'm like, first, you should probably go work in a pizzeria because it's different eating a pizza at a pizzeria versus knowing like what to do and how chaotic can be when it's busy. And the logistics that go into running or the day-to-day operations of a pizza, even if you just go work there for a couple months, you'll get definitely a better idea of what it's going to take to be successful at it.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's important to understand like how many employees you need as well, like for a busy night, and who you need to be where on the line. Like the way they had it at Coal Fire, they had one guy stretching the dough and they had three guys just assembling pizzas.
Yeah.
They had one guy throwing the pizza in the oven and handling, it was like a coal-fired oven. So they had to have one guy manning the oven all night. Then they have one guy cutting the pizza and finishing them. So there's a good amount of bodies just in the kitchen just to make these pizzas fly out, you know, in a timely manner. So we were able to kind of see the flow of how that worked. And that helped me a lot. And during that period of time, my brother was looking for different locations for the restaurant. And we just fell in love with this little spot on Clark Street. What I wanted, and for the longest time, my goal is always to find like a place I can call a shop, right? Like I don't want a big restaurant with a ton of servers.
So what is like, what is your restaurant? Like, what is it now? Describe it. Is it takeout delivery? Is it seats? What is it?
So we are able to seat some people, but we can only, there's four tables in the restaurant, right? So, and there's four seats at each table. So we can sit about 16 people. Plus there's like some bar stools. So we can maybe fit like in total roughly 20 people. So it's pretty small, but majority of our business is done through takeout and delivery for sure.
And do you guys do your own delivery or do you have third parties?
So we tried out third party for a bit and it was a disaster. We got rid of them instantly. We did not have a good time working with them. A lot of the times they would show up without like the proper like hot bags to keep the pizza hot.
Yeah.
And, they were, it was just bad. I don't want to necessarily like talk badly on them, but it just did not work out whatsoever. And so we decided to hire our own guys. So right now we have two delivery drivers helping us out. Yeah.
And so great. I just looked at a picture of your Instagram. I'm going to share it here because I kind of saw your setup in the inside with the seating there. So if you're listening to this and you're not watching the video, by the looks of it on your Instagram, you did get a lot of inspiration from those New York style pizza shops. And if you think of it, it's like a slice shop, but you do delivery and takeout. So it's kind of like a what you would think of a New York style pizzeria would be, is what you guys are going for.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, in New York, everything is so tight and compact. Like the apartments are small, the hotels are small, the pizzerias are small, the restaurants, everything is so tight. So we were definitely inspired by that. But at the same time, for a while, I wanted to open a food truck. And then
nice.
Now I have this idea of wanting to open a shop. And I've just always been attracted to having a small, tight operation. Because I just think it's more fun that way. I've always wanted to like own a shop. You know, yeah. I don't want this giant place with the bar team and a ton of employees that I need to look after. Like eventually, who knows what'll happen as we expand. But for now, I'm really comfortable and happy with just having like a small crew, a small shop. And we make it fun. It's always a good time.
Obviously with 2020, that was one part of what's happening. But now with the, it's hard to find employees for people who want to work in restaurants, and the supply chain is really messed up and expensive right now. So I think that's a smart move. You know, less is more. Being really good at a couple things is way better than trying to have 100 different things on your menu, because it's just hard to find people to be able to train them to do it well and to find and supply the products that you need to get all those things done.
Yeah, for sure. Like you said, I mean, the prices are crazy right now. So yeah. We've had to adjust our prices on our menu to reflect that. And, people have been mostly understanding of it so far. And it's like, people need to understand, like right now we're in a place where, employees are expected to be paid more and they deserve it. So we're going to pay them more. And food costs are going up. And in reaction to that, we just need to increase our prices. And that's just the world we live in right now.
Yeah, there's no way around that. You can't have one without the other.
Yeah, you really can't. And luckily, people have been understanding so far with the increased prices.
Do you let them know like ahead of time, or if you do raise prices, do you do it like slowly, or how do you manage that?
We've done it slowly. Yeah. The prices haven't changed drastically, but we'll increase the pizzas by $1 or $2, depending on the ingredients and whatnot. So they haven't changed drastically, but sometimes those $1 or $2 changes do make the difference.
100%. Like you gotta be able to sustain business. If you want to make a good product and have good service, you have to be able to make a profit. That's what we're doing business for. As much as everybody says it's not about the money, I mean, eventually you have to make a profit. Otherwise you're not going to be in business for very long.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. And, a big key with us has been, connecting with Lakeview and, marketing well and, making sure that we're doing the volume that we need to, hit our bottom line. And, Chad here has been a big part of the marketing strategy. And, maybe you can tell him a little bit about our strategy as we were starting up, connecting with influencers before we even opened the doors.
Yeah. Like, when did you guys open? Like, when did you open? When was your first day?
December 3rd.
So you haven't been open too long. What has it been, about 5 months now? Almost exactly, right? What's today, May 3rd?
Yeah.
It is actually, yeah. That's
right. Yeah, you're right.
As we're recording this, congratulations. Happy 5-month anniversary.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It's pretty incredible how busy we've been. I mean, we didn't expect this from the beginning.
What was it like the first? Did you guys do a soft opening or did you open?
Yeah,
we did a soft opening. We had like friends and family come out.
Yeah, we did like one day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it was busy right off the bat?
It really was, yeah. So we did some pre-marketing with some influencers, Instagram and TikTok influencers. And that really, I think, set us off in the right direction. We got connected with the Chamber of Commerce. They've been really helpful. We had the aldermen come out for our ribbon cutting. There's just been a lot of people that have connected with us that have been open to coming in and just showing us love and really getting us off on the right foot.
I love that. So you said you doing a lot of influencers with Instagram and TikTok. I'm interested in talking about that. Did you reach out to them or did they reach out to you?
We reached out to them.
And what did you offer them? Did you just offer them like money or free pizza or what was like, how did that conversation go?
The majority of the people are willing to come in to just get a free meal, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
They have a huge audience and they could charge, to come in. We have had some people that say, that are looking for payment. But for the good majority, they just want a meal and they're happy to connect with us and put out a video for us. And that's been great.
Yeah. I find like if you reach out to people, for the most part, they don't ask for money. They usually ask for money if like they reach out to you and they're like, oh, I can share with my audience. And you're like, okay, great. But it's gotta be a win-win for both places. And sometimes it's not always a win-win for both the business and the influencer, but there are like micro influencers who may not have tens or thousands of, followers that they have like 1,000 or 2,000, but they're really engaged. You can probably reach out to them and ask them for a free pizza, and that's great to get exposure for sure.
Yeah, so that was kind of what we did in the beginning. Is generally the way it would work is we would offer usually it'd come in like one or two people that work for, not work for, but that have like an Instagram channel with like a pretty good following. And what we would do is we would just offer them two pizzas of their choice. So they'd pick something off the menu, and we'd bring it out to their table, and they just film me throwing the dough in the air, and they'd film me putting all the ingredients on top and like the finished product. And this was all before we actually opened our doors. So we wanted to make sure that we're like creating some momentum before December 3rd, our opening date, which was, I think, really, really important for our trajectory. I think if we wouldn't have done that, I think it would have been a little bit more difficult to create, you know, that trajectory of consistent business happening right as soon as the doors open. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, our first day was really busy, and it's been consistently busy since day one. I really do believe that it was that marketing push that helped us have that consistent business flowing in as soon as we opened up.
Nice. Are you guys on TikTok? Do you use TikTok for like marketing, a marketing channel?
So we do slightly. We need to ramp that up. We're going to be running ads on TikTok soon. We have some videos being put together that we're going to run ads against and see how that goes.
Yeah.
I mean, but Instagram is definitely the number one.
Yeah. Our focus has been on Instagram. I mean, that's really, at least when I use the internet or any of these social media applications, if I'm trying to look up restaurants or I want to know more about a restaurant, I'll go on Instagram.
Yeah. So I agree with you. I find the search functionality on Instagram is, I think, here's my take, the search functionality. So if you're actively looking for things or places or people, Instagram's easier to do that. It's way easier though to get sucked into the content on TikTok and the algorithm that TikTok has to show you content that you've looked at before or that they think you may like is much better. So for viewing, yeah, TikTok is better, but for searching, Instagram is way better. I agree.
But there is something to be said though about, I mean, my brother has always expressed how on TikTok, if you figure out their algorithm and you get it just right, like you can really blow up on that platform. Like, yeah, your video will go super viral.
Plus, I think your brother said about the TikTok ads. I think TikTok ads have really improved over the last 6 months or 9 months. Before, they were really clunky and expensive. Now they're really targeted and not that expensive. It's probably cheaper to run TikTok ads than it is Facebook ads right now.
Oh, certainly. Yeah. And the organic reach on TikTok is just, it's much easier.
Yeah.
To be seen.
You're never going to blow up on a Facebook post. Like, you're never going to blow up. But a TikTok, you never know. If it's good and it gets a lot of views or there's a lot of engagement in the beginning, you can get hundreds of thousands of views. It's crazy.
Yeah, certainly.
It's a wild, wild west of social media.
For sure. I would say that's pretty accurate.
But that's great. You guys have a pretty good following for only being open for a few months. So, and I think you do a good job taking your photos. Do you guys take those photos on Instagram? That's what I'm looking at now. Or do you have somebody take it for you?
A little bit of both. Yeah. Some of them are taken by us. Some of them are the people that have came in, like the influencers. We also have a guy, Jorge, who's worked with us pretty closely. He's done some of our videos and he's doing more for us. Some are about to come out in the next couple of weeks. But yeah, it's a mix of everything.
I think they look pretty good. The ones that you guys take, you just use your phone?
Yeah, just use our phone. There's actually really nice natural lighting that comes into the shop. And a lot of times we'll like move our pizza or whatever we're trying to take a photo of to a table that's right by the windows. We get really nice lighting. So that picture was actually taken by a guest of ours who just ordered a pizza and posted about it. So we actually, we just took that photo from them. But the majority, I'd say like 90% of the pizza that you see on our page is just me, you know, taking out my iPhone. I'll send it to my brother and he'll write up a quick caption and, you know, post it. And, we've been getting pretty good engagement and on our stories too, you know, they're getting more and more views and, just trying to make sure we be consistent with it is that's the toughest thing is just making sure you're constantly putting up stories and posts. You got to make sure you're, hitting those algorithms. And if you get too lazy, if you stop posting for a while, you'll notice like the views go down on the stories and whatnot. So just staying active is really important.
Yeah, it's really a huge difference. I mean, if you take 3 days off, 3-4 days off, we'll see a 50% decline in store views.
Wow.
Yeah.
It does tell you something. That's like going to the gym, right? Like you go to the gym, you gotta be consistent. Otherwise, you go to the gym for a week, nothing's gonna happen. But if you go for 6 months, you'll start to see the results. And then if you take a month off, all of a sudden you feel flabby again, like you never went.
It's valid. It's
so definitely social media is kind of the same feeling. You got to be consistent with it. You're better off going, slowly at a consistent pace than hammering someone with 27 stories in one day and then taking
them off. Yeah, and that's kind of my mindset as well. Like, I try to make sure that the content is quality. You know, we obviously want to be consistent with posting, but I want it to always make sure, like, make sure the posts look good and make sure it's worth going up on the story or as a post. You know, just keep the quality high and make sure that it's worth being looked at, you know.
Yeah, I think you have to have a good product too, you know, because social media is fantastic and it can get people in the door. But if your product sucks, they're going to try it and be like, this is shit. I don't care. I'm never coming back, no matter how good the photo looks.
For sure. Yeah. And we've been getting a lot of repeat customers. It's been huge. We have a few people that come by several times a week, you know, just to get slices and whatnot. So the repeat customers have been huge for us. And just speaking on the quality of the product, I've just been, you know, in order to keep up on that, I've just been tinkering with the recipe, you know, pretty much every week. All the time our dough is a little bit different. I'm always tweaking the recipe, trying to perfect it. I'm a little obsessive over the dough specifically. And yeah, it's just a never-ending process to make sure that our quality is there. And really, there is no end in sight. Like, I plan on making little adjustments or doing what I can to perfect the recipe. Literally, like, I don't know if it'll ever stop because I'm never quite 100% content with where the pizza is at. Like, I'm always trying to make sure that I can make it a little bit better every time I go for the recipe. You know?
Love it. Yeah. The most of the people that I talk to that have what we think of from the outside looking in as like successful pizzerias or pizzerias where you think of great pizza have that same philosophy. It's like, we don't have a set recipe. We do, but it's always something we're working on.
Yeah. It, you know, it's a tough thing because I want to get to a place where it's like, okay, this is what the dough is. This is what the recipe is. Let's just keep it there. But then, you know, I'll read a new book that has something interesting that you could try with the dough to make it a little bit different. And I go ahead and try it out. And I'm always, and it's the curiosity as well for me, you know, wanting to try out a biga versus a poolish, wanting to play with this percentage versus that, wanting to try doing a different blend of flours. So right now I'm pretty content with the recipe. It's been pretty consistent actually for the last couple of weeks. But I'm already have new ideas in my mind of what I want to do to it. So it'll always be changing in some sort of way. And I'm not sure if our customers are noticing. I mean, I always make sure that if I'm going to put out a product, it's going to be really good. But yeah, the dough has evolved and changed so much since day one until now.
When you do change the recipe, do you change the recipe like aside and test it out and then change it in the store, or do you do it actively in the store?
I actually do it in real time. And like I said, I'm if I make a change and I test it out and try it myself and it's not working out, then I'm not going to serve that product.
Yeah.
But very oftentimes because I make small adjustments, I don't think it's something that's going to be super noticeable. And I'm not really doing it on the side. I really am doing it in real time. So I guess you could say it's a little ballsy, but at the same time, for me, it's fun. And I think it's fun. Also, there's the occasional customer that will be asking like, oh, so what are you guys doing this week? And, you know, I'll be saying like, you know, I'm messing around with rye flour this week. I had a little bit of rye to the dough to add like a nice toasty, nutty flavor to it. Or this week is a little bit more hydration, or I'm actually doing a blend of Caputo Blue 00 flour and, you know, high gluten flour. You know, I'm just always messing around with different ratios and different things that we can do to make it as good as it possibly can be.
You know what? You started that way too. So it's going to be a lot easier for you in the future to change the recipe and adapt over time, because that's how you set the precedent in the beginning versus a pizzeria who someone bought it and maybe they've had the same recipe for 10 years. And then they come in and they're like, all right, we're going to change the recipe and continue to tinker with it. Those customers may get a little bit more upset than yours because yours are trained to realize that you're always trying to improve it.
Yeah. And we've, you know, if we're going to change something about his pizza, we'll talk about it online. Just be like, you know what, guys, I've been playing around with sauce on top this week. And if you order this pizza, that's what you're going to get. You
know? Yeah.
And people have been pretty open-minded in terms of, you know, the changes we're making. Cause I think people are also excited to see, you know, what we can do with the pizza. And, you know, obviously consistency is very important. And when it comes to the quality of the product, that's where the consistency comes in for me. But in terms of playing around with ideas, I'm always messing around with new ideas. And I think people are, for the most part, okay with that.
I look at your menu on your website and it's not a very big menu, which is good.
Yeah, we keep it really tight. And that's the way I've always wanted to run the restaurant. I think for me, it's like if I were to come in and want to place an order, I think it'd be really simple to place an order at our place. You know, there's two appetizers, two salads. There's about 9 specialty pizzas, and there's 2 desserts that we make in-house. Everything is made in-house. And that's always how I wanted my menu to be structured. And this way we can control the quality of the product a lot more, because I really have a hard time believing that these restaurants that have, you know, 30, 40 different options, I have a hard time believing that everything is fresh.
Yeah.
Constantly, you know, all week round.
You know, here's a good gauge too. If you have too many things on your menu, if your customer walks in and looks at your menu board and stares at it for like 3 minutes and you have to sit there looking at them, you have way too many things on your menu.
Yeah. And that's the thing at our place, people are able to make a quick decision. We got our menu right on our wall. And it usually takes a minute for
yeah.
to make a decision.
It's like, do I want pizza or a salad? And what kind of pizza do
I want? Yeah. And we make sure that each and everything on the menu is really good. You know, I would rather have a small menu that's really solid and each and everything on the menu is really solid, rather than having like a huge menu and certain things are like our winners, our big, you know, ticket items. And then there's a few things that are like, this one's not as great, but you know, it appeals to a niche crowd. Like that's not the direction I want to go in. I want to make sure you can pick anything off of our menu and it's going to be really delicious.
Yeah. Is there a lot of New York style pizzerias around your area?
No, not at all.
So you guys, people in Chicago, I mean, they're familiar with New York style pizza. So there probably wasn't a huge learning curve there.
Yeah. I mean, so Chicagoans definitely have, you know, a little bit of they get a definitely regional when it comes to pizza, and they definitely get protective over their styles. I would say that's a little bit more prevalent, like the South side. You get a couple people, you know, who are pretty serious about wanting to make sure that, you know, if you're eating pizza, it's either tavern style or deep dish, and that's all we like here in Chicago. But we're on the North side, and I think people are doing a little bit more with experimenting with different styles. There's Neapolitan places now in Chicago. There's Detroit style places. There's a few New York style places. And there's more and more places popping up in Chicago with different styles. So really Chicago is becoming a very diverse place for pizza. And it's pretty incredible to see it.
I love it. I love the fact that there's a diversity in styles of pizza, because if you said to me, Baruch, you can have one style of pizza right now, like Detroit style is one of my favorites to go to right now, but you can't eat Detroit style multiple times a week. You need like a week off after you have a good Detroit style
sure.
pizza. It's very filling. New York style pizza, you can eat any time though.
Yeah, it's very light. And
especially a good one. A shitty one, you can't.
A good New York style pizza should be light, and ours is pretty light. And I would agree. I think ours is the kind of pizza where you can eat a slice or two and not feel like you have to take a nap.
Yeah,
when you're eating deep dish pizza, it's like you're really eating a meal after eating one slice. Like,
yeah, it's great. I love it, but you can't eat it for like multiple times a week. You could, but I don't know how people do that.
Yeah, I mean, we grew up. I mean, tavern style. People will tell you in Chicago that tavern style is a little bit more what you're going to see at your, you know,
that's like the thin style pizza, right?
Yeah, so it's thin. It's square cut.
Yeah,
and you're going to see that a lot more at parties and get-togethers with family and friends in Chicago more often than you see deep dish. I think deep dish is an amazing, amazing style of pizza, but I think you're going to see it a little less often, a little bit more for like special occasions or whatnot. But tavern style is really what you're going to see for the most part at Chicago.
So there's a place near me that cuts their pizza. It's like, I don't want to say it's – so I'm in the Boston area. We have what's called – it's called Greek pizza. It's like in a pan. Okay. It's like Italian-style pizza made in a pan. So I probably offended a lot of people by that description right there, but that's fine. but they cut it in square. And I hate when they cut it in square because I never know how much I'm eating.
Like, oh, yeah, it's real easy to eat way too much.
Yeah, like half the pizza's gone. I'm like, damn, I ate that much. I just kept grabbing a square.
Yeah, they just feel like you're eating little snacks. And then by the time you know, I mean, you're like, the pizza's gone.
I very much determine how much pizza I eat by how many triangle slices I take.
Yeah, it's a little bit easier to keep up with the amount you're having, I guess, when the triangle.
So you guys have been open for a few months now. I mean, I'm sure there's not a huge agenda for the future. You're just trying to get through the first year, which is usually the hardest part, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's a big goal to make it through the first year, but I think we definitely are hoping to expand in the future. We're hoping for a couple more locations. And I think that the plan is to keep, you know, the vibe very similar. If we're going to open another place, it'll be, you know, another small shop with a small menu. We're not really planning on opening a larger scale place with a, you know, a bar team and have cocktails and whatnot and like sort of change the whole idea. Like, we really want to just keep it small, focused, and consistent across the board with the style that we're doing. So if we were to open a few more spots, which is in the plans, I think we would really want to just open maybe a few more small shops in the Chicago area or possibly, you know, somewhere else. But we really need to look more into that. But we definitely are planning on expanding for sure.
That's good. You've been doing it for 5 months and that's on your mind. It means it's going pretty good.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we're doing well. There's no doubt that we're going to make it. You know, I mean, at the pace we're going, unless things, you know, totally change, which I don't see, you know, happening, we're going to definitely succeed. Another thing we're looking into is Frozen.
Oh, yeah. That's something that a lot of people have been asking about. What do you guys, are you messing around with that or what are you just thinking about? It now?
So it's more of just a conversation right now. We haven't really been testing too much.
Like the whole pizza or the dough or both or what do you guys
think? The whole pizza. Yeah. Yeah, so I think that is a more scalable route if we really want to expand further than trying to open up multiple locations. Not that we're opposed to doing a multiple location, but I think the frozen game is something that we can really take and go further with faster.
How have you experimented with any frozen pizza yet?
So we just started. I mean, we just made one the other day. You could speak on that.
Yeah, so I mean, we haven't had like any vacuum sealing or anything official going on, but we just basically I took some dough the other day and I threw it in the oven. I just basically did like a naked par bake on it, like just for a few minutes, took it out, threw in some sauce and cheese. And it's actually still in the freezer right now. So probably either today or tomorrow, we're going to go try it out and see how it freezes. But yeah, a lot of our favorite pizzerias, this place we go to, Gianario's, they sell the frozen pizzas right in their freezer section in the store. And it's delicious. It tastes just like the regular pizza. And we figured, you know, if we're able to add another avenue of business, you know, why not? If it tastes good and it reheats well, then, you know, it just makes sense for us to start looking into that. So like I said, we haven't really done too much testing and we're literally planning on making that pizza either today or tomorrow, but it's definitely a direction that we'd like to go in. Hopefully it'll work out.
Well, if you do figure that out, we'll go hop back in another podcast and kind of talk about that.
Yeah, for sure. We're excited about it. And we see a lot of potential and who knows, you know, how serious we can get with that. Like there's a lot of places that are doing like big, big production with just frozen pizza.
Yeah.
You know,
it's hard to figure out how to do it and scale it. But once you do, there's a place I did an interview with. They're in Canada though. And during the pandemic, they had a Neapolitan pizzeria and obviously Canada locked down everything. No one could go in there. And Neapolitan pizza is not like New York style or Detroit where it carries well. Like it tastes way different when you, and they had to figure out, and they figured out relatively quickly how to do frozen pizza. And it's become 2 or 3 times bigger than the pizzeria itself now.
Wow.
In only a year of doing it, once they kind of spend a lot of time figuring it out. So I definitely agree with you. It's definitely a more scalable, the audience is just bigger, right? Because you can go, can mail it out versus people having to travel to you.
100%. Yeah. It is complicated. I mean, when you're trying to go direct to consumer and you're looking at shipping options and everything else that's included with that, it is a challenge.
Yeah.
But it's a challenge that's worth going after and trying to figure out.
It's overwhelming, right? You think of all logistically, how you think of all of it. And, you know, for most people, they'll probably just be like, forget it. I'm not doing that. It's too much work. Yeah. But for the few that figure it out.
We'll start with, you know, seeing if it actually, you know, reheats well. And if it does, then that's just step one for us. And then there's people that we know that we can connect with on Instagram that can give us, you know, some tips and tricks and whatnot and how other pizzerias have been successful with doing this. So that's generally what we like to do is connect with other places and see, you know, what are other people doing that's working. And then we can try to emulate that if we decide to move in that direction.
You know? That's a good strategy. I like that. Yeah,
for sure.
I appreciate you kind of hanging out with me, taking some time. Where can people go if they want to say hello to you or connect with you? Is Instagram the best spot for that?
Yeah, for sure. So our Instagram is Zaza's Pizza, Z-A-Z-A-S Pizza, one word. You can also check out our website, zazas-pizzeria.com. And yeah, pretty much for the most part, we connect with people on Instagram. So you can always shoot us a DM if you want to connect with us. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Well, I'll link all that up in the show notes for this episode as well. Your website, Instagram, and your TikTok. I'll go find your TikTok. You guys.
There's not too many videos.
Yeah, there's not too many, but we're working.
They will be though, right?
Yeah, we're good.
If people listening to this in the future, they'll find your TikTok. So what's the TikTok handle?
I believe it's Zaza's Pizza. It might be Zaza's Pizzeria, though.
All right, we'll link that up. So go to smartpizzamarketing.com and type in Zaza's Pizza, and we'll link all that up. Guys, don't hang up yet, but thank you so much for joining me in the podcast. It was really fun talking to you.
Thank you, Bruce. For sure.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us, Bruce.
Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast, as always. If you need to reach out to me, you can reach out to me. Bruce@smartpizzamarketing.com is my email. Goes directly to me. The website, smartpizzamarketing.com, and you can follow me on Instagram @smartpizzamarketing. Tag me with your reels. I'll share some reels of your pizzas, as long as they're good ones. No crappy reels. Don't share crappy reels with me. How do you know if they're crappy or not? If nobody likes it. If you don't get any traction on your reel, probably wasn't a great reel. You should probably redo it. That's how you know if it's good or not. Just like on a podcast episode I recorded this week, I said, you know what? You know how you tell if you have really good pizza? Delete everything else off your menu. If you only sell pizza and you delete everything else and people still come to you to order your pizza, you probably have pretty decent pizza. If you delete everything else off your menu and nobody buys your pizza, it's probably not that good. You should probably redo the recipe. Same thing with your reels. That's how you tell if it's good or not. So tag me @SmartPizzaMarketing. I would love to see what you got going on over there. And if they're good, I'll share them on mine. And I'll give you a little shout out on the Smart Pizza Marketing Instagrams. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have a great week and we'll see you next time.